Welcome back in to Open Gym here on Texas Sports Unfiltered. Myself, Patrick Davis, alongside Matt Galatson of Texas Longhorns on SI. And of course, you, the third member of Open Gym. Text line's open 512-222-9328. And of course, over there on the chat, Facebook, Twitch, X, and on YouTube. Appreciate you being here with us during the holiday season. I know stuff is getting stressful and busy and time is of value, so we appreciate you hanging out with us here on the show. Shout out to Chan on the text line. Says we definitely need to play the young guns in this bowl game. I agree. We all agree we got to play them. It's about how much we got to play them versus how much we're trying to win the game in the middle. But I think, Matt, you nailed it right on the head. Defensively, how much of a choice is there?
Zero.
not much of a choice on the defensive end of the ball. So, you know, that's kind of how big the rotation is. Is it a really tight rotation of young guys, or do they open it up a little bit more on there? But yeah, definitely a lot of names already opting out of this bowl game, or reportedly opting out of the bowl game for the Texas defense. I expect to see more names before we get there, because there always are. We haven't really heard too much about Michigan yet either. Not surprisingly, feels like Michigan beat reporters are busy with something else. I don't know what else they'd be busy with right now, but maybe not fully tracking the opt-outs, going for the bigger news story.
Yeah, I don't know. I assume we're going to have some more opt-outs coming.
Yeah, I mean, it happens every year. It is what it is.
Yeah. I you know what I'm really interested to find out, Patrick, is whether or not Ethan Burke opts out.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I would assume he would, but
yeah, I don't know. Like, I haven't seen whether or not he's practicing. I haven't seen, like, he wasn't on Chip's list of players that he had reported had opted out that I'm aware of. I don't know. I also wonder when we're going to find out about this Hero Canoe news. That's one that I'm really interested in, because if he elects to come back and he plays in this game, same with Jelani McDonald.
Yeah.
That would be huge. If you have Jelani McDonald back there in this game, that would be massive.
Oh, I'm with you. I think Jelani McDonald, Hero Canoe are two of the big ones. We all know Colin Simmons, we're not even going to talk about Colin Simmons not being there. So we'll continue to believe in that one. But yeah, those are probably the two biggest names that there's still question marks about. I know there's still question marks about a couple of other names, but they feel a little bit more decided than anything else. Last night, Matt, Texas did get a 41-point win over the Lemoyne Dolphins. They took care of business really in the second half more than the first half. This was a matchup that we saw after the first half. We're like, oh, yeah, Sean Miller is going to get pissed off at this team. They were up 41-30, so you're still up by 11, but it wasn't the half you wanted to see in the first half. The offense wasn't really working that well, and the defense would just disappear at times. They were also still fouling too much. All the things that Sean Miller keeps getting mad about this team doing, all of them kind of happened at the same time. And they come out with an 11-point lead because they're a much more talented team than the Lemoyne Dolphins are. But we see them come out in the second half and start to figure it out a bit more. And they go 54-23 in the second half to really pull that lead out, play good defense throughout, and make it a game that they're able to be proud about. They hold them to 28% shooting from the field. They hold Lemoyne to 11% from the three-point line as well. They shot too many free throws, 23 free throws shot for both teams. So you still have to work on the personal fouls. Voigt Titus had three. Jordan Pope had three personal fouls. Simeon Wilcher with four. He's been playing well, but he just continues to make some just boneheaded plays. And that, to me, that's where we get the problem. For Chan, Jordan Pope had four assists. So we got close to that five for you, Chan, but I told you probably be under there. This is not how that offense really runs a ton. So, you know, it's just not how that offense runs. And so he's passing the ball off to somebody else pretty immediately, as opposed to a guy who's ball in hand and trying to drive and then find somebody. It's not quite how this offense runs. Tramone Mark led the way with 18 points. Sean Miller talked about it after the game and brought up how he feels that he's starting to figure out Tramone Mark, and Tramone Mark starting to figure out this offense, as he had missed a little bit of time over the offseason rehabbing some injuries. So he wasn't 100%. So they're still trying to figure each other out. It feels like Tramone Mark's starting to be a little bit more comfortable in this Texas offense, which is a really good sign, because the way he was playing early in the season, you were like, I don't know what, if like this dude, you know, he's not playing defense the way he needs to. He's not playing offense. We start to get that out of him. That makes you feel a little bit better. Dalen Swain is still just that first half. Dalen Swain, completely unacceptable play. He just did not look ready for it. He gets big eyed at times for Dalen Swain, where he's like, what's going wrong? And you're like, just focus and play. So we didn't, we saw that a little bit better in the second half. It does feel like the power forward position is still just kind of a real crapshoot at this time. Mm-hmm. Declan Rue plays okay. I would assume he would get a little bit more playing time, but I don't know why he's not. You figure it's something in practice. Maybe it's turnovers. Maybe it's shot selection. I don't know. He does feel like he wants to take it a little bit more, which is sometimes with the guy when you're fifth on the lineup, when you're out there, you don't want a guy who's going to take it to the rim as much as he does. But Nick Cody only plays 6 minutes in the game. Lacina Traor plays 19, plays decent defense, gets 11 rebounds. So he's kind of he's more of your defensive four. Cam Heidi's your offensive four right now, but it just feels like you're going to have to play that by matchup a little bit more. And then Jordan Pope plays 22 minutes again, 3 of 10 shooting. He's one of the only guys on this team who's really creating his own shot when the offense completely just slows down and they're just passing and everybody's moving and everybody's passing, but no one's setting picks. No one's really doing anything to get an advantage. They're all just dribbling around hoping that the defense messes up somewhere, but they're not making them do switches. They're not making them really do. So the offense isn't that complicated and they're just kind of dribbling and passing between each other. Jordan Pope has been better at creating a shot. He's just not hitting him at the level you need him to hit him at, to where you feel confident with him doing that. I think you want Simeon Wilcher to get there, but he, again, just has to be smarter. He just has to not have stupid fouls, not have silly turnovers. He had 2 turnovers in the game. You just got to be a little bit smarter about all of those things that he's doing. And it feels like he's going to continue to take time away from Jordan Pope. Kendall Weaver has not figured out this Sean Miller offense whatsoever. Does not fit into it whatsoever. Like, it's one of those things where I know some people are taking shots at Kendall Weaver. I will still stand on good coaches can make players. Can you figure out how to use a player better than that? I think Sean Miller is still, and he said at the end of the game, he's still trying to figure out this team. And it's not great how long it's taking, but if you don't find a way to make Cam Heidi a better player than he is, and you don't find a way to use Kendall Weaver, we're never going to have the abundance of talent he would need to win if he cannot make guys like that work at Texas. He will never get us close to a championship if he can't figure that out. Like, you have to, at a school like Texas, figure out how to use those guys better. So hopefully Tramone Mark is the first piece of that, where he's figuring out how to use Tramone Mark a little bit better, using him in ways that, maybe not everybody nowadays would love, taking some more mid-range jumpers, getting him into where he feels comfortable. I like all of that stuff that we're seeing from it. It was good to see the second half, not fun to watch the first half. There's positives in there, but yeah, this team's just still got a long way to go. That I'm really curious to see what team we have come March, because hopefully a lot more of these players have figured it out and Sean Miller has figured out how to use them by that time.
Yeah, you would hope so. And I you're 12 games in with an entirely new team. It's going to take time to figure these things out, but that's not really an excuse. Like, you had pretty much the whole offseason to try and figure out a way to work Kendall Weaver into your system and to work Cam Heidi into your system. And it hasn't really Like, I feel like it's been more successful with Heidi just because he's been playing more, but he still hasn't played particularly well. Kendall Weaver just feels like he's out there on the court and he's not really doing much. Like, he played 18 minutes. He took four shots. He was 0-4. He had 2 points.
Yeah.
Got a couple rebounds. Like, that's about it. I think the thing that I'm most encouraged by, though, and I get that it's LeMoyne and they're terrible. And, you know, by the way, shout out to Tennessee Rainwater. 14 minutes, 0 points.
For Tennessee.
But the thing that's encouraging to me is he had six guys in double figures and another guy with eight.
Yeah.
So, like, you had a lot of different guys scoring. I was encouraged by Tremone Mark as well. It kind of feels like he's getting it. And I'm glad that Sean Miller talked about that, because that kind of seems like it's happening. Because he did it against UConn, too. It wasn't just because he was playing LeMoyne. He played well against UConn as well. So if he can be the player that he was last year, maybe a little bit more distributive than he was last year, but like the effective offensive player that he was last year, I think that Texas is going to have a much better shot to compete against some good teams.
Yeah, I'm with you. It feels like they're getting better. I'll say right now, Joe, and for Chan, who says we're running out of time, for Joe, who says we got to go 9-9, again, I think we're going to not be very good in SEC play. I just don't see it yet. There's no consistency in this team. There's no focus in this team yet. It just feels like Sean Miller started prepping this team way too late. And I don't know if that's when he was hired, when guys were coming in. I don't know what it is. It just feels like Sean Miller thought he was going to have a different team when he walked in. And he has been kind of like, I don't know why that is, but it like the day one Texas team that we saw it against Duke and what we saw there, it's not like they're not remotely the same team right now. And they're transitioning into starting to figure out, but like, it felt like he was just trying to. And look, I don't care. Play Duke first. It didn't really matter who you play first. It's basketball.
Yeah, played seven other tomato cans.
Yeah, you played. Yeah, I'm we have enough tomato cans, and I get you can move it around. You played in a big marquee game to put Texas out there. That's a good thing to do.
And you were winning at halftime.
Yeah, there's positives to it. But it just doesn't feel like this team really has the answers to go against some of these better teams in the SEC. Maybe they'll continue to improve. Maybe we'll start to see Tremone Mark be more consistent. Maybe Jordan Pope will figure it out. Maybe Wilcher will start to take that next step. And by the, you know, halfway point of the SEC play, we'll be, you know, a game or two below 500 and be able to even the, you know, right the ship by the second half. I just don't have a ton of confidence in this team right now. It just feels like we're way behind the eight ball on it. I think Sean Miller is a good coach, but it does not feel like Sean Miller is the type of coach who's going to walk in and change your program in a year. I'll say that. And that's hard. There's not a ton of those. I'm giving him, I've already kind of written this year off, and anything that happens now is a positive. But I've somewhat already written this year off, because it doesn't feel like anything is really going great Texas way. They have some games where they play really well. You're going to see games where they play really, really well throughout the SEC. And then you're going to see some games where they don't even show up for them. And so we just have to kind of even that out as we go through this season, and then looking forward to next year.
I think it's pretty clear, Patrick, and I'm really I'm really sorry that I have to say this, but I think it's pretty clear that you are to Texas basketball what I am to Ole Miss football.
What?
You're just a perennial negativity guy.
I thought we were doing good when we had Rodney Terry. I was positive on Rodney Terry.
Oh, I remember those conversations over the spring.
I was positive on him, but
I think they'll be fine. I do.
I think they'll be fine too. When I say wrote this season off, I just mean we're not. At best we make the tournament. We're not winning a game in the tournament. Like, we're at best a bubble team. This team was very poorly constructed for what Sean Miller wants to do.
Yeah, that's fair.
We don't have the three-point shooting. We don't have anyone who can score at will. We don't have anybody we can get the ball to that we feel good about in a one-on-one game. You have Vojkatidis, who's getting better. that you can throw it in the post. We don't have that perimeter player. Defensively, they're so hit or miss. So, like, again, and I'll say, I'm going to watch at least 5 or 6 games this year where I'm going to feel like, oh, we're completely getting hosed by the refs. And it just is what it is, but they're calling a lot of fouls on Texas. I don't think that's going to stop. And so all those put together, I think that Texas has a plenty of chance to be much better next season. I'm hoping that this will open some eyes to, we're going to have to spend a little bit more money and go get some of those players in the portal to compete like that. But outside of that, I mean, the SEC is a really, really good basketball conference. That's why if we were in the Big 12, I think we could win more games because you're not so top. Like, it's not so many teams that are really great teams. It was just very even. And in the SEC, there's going to be a lot of games where you're just thoroughly outmatched. So that's kind of the worry is, all right, well, if you can't win those games and you're just trying to have to win out, I'll say there's probably 2 or 3 teams that we're not going to be able to beat. So then you say you got to go 500 in the rest of those, but that's still not 500 in conference play. That's kind of where I'm at right now. Gotcha. It could change. They've gotten much better. I will say they've gotten much better than even Hawaii. They've gotten much better than that. So I think they will continue to improve. I get it, 1-4 against Power 5 teams. I have to see it against real teams. They've showed up against NC State for 40 minutes, and that's the one team. Outside of that, they've had some really bad appearances. UConn, I thought they played okay. UConn's a better team. So I get you, man. I don't think I'm negativity all around. I thought that we have had teams that could go Sweet 16 before. But you know, it's going to be a tough road this year just because of the roster. It just doesn't feel like it's there where it needs to be. Hopefully they'll play well enough. They can enhance the people. Modest Boy Katitis can come back. You know, he's going to be better next season. So a lot of positives to look at, but we'll just go with that. All right, Matt, let's get to our NFL power rankings here. It's time to update these power rankings. As we do every week here on the show, here is our power rankings from last week. And we start to look at this that I know your Rams play again tomorrow. Your favorite team in NFL history, the Los Angeles Rams. Real L.A. Matt. We call him Hollywood now because he's such a L.A. guy for loving Matt Stafford. They did get a big win over the Lions last week, 41-34. Really putting the Lions in a weird place at 8-6 that they did not expect to be. The Buffalo Bills, Josh Allen continuing his pace with a 35-31 win over the Patriots, who are number 4 team. Seattle going to be playing in that Thursday night game against the Rams. It's a really good Thursday night game. Matt, are you actually going to watch Thursday night football this week?
Maybe.
You got to try out that Prime Vision, man. Got to try out that Prime Vision.
I did that with the Cowboys in their last Thursday night game. It was cool.
It's fun to watch. Seahawks beat the Colts 18-16. And the Broncos got that 34-26 win over the Packers. So the only team who lost in your tier one, Matt, is the Patriots, who lost to your number 2 team. So the 4 team lost to the 2 team. Outside of that, when we go into tier 2, the Bears take care of the Browns 31-3. The Bears with Ben Johnson. Maybe the Cowboys should have called Ben Johnson. I like Shoddy, but maybe they should have called Ben Johnson. I don't know if you
would. I don't think it would have made a difference.
The 49ers beat the Titans 37-24. The Packers, of course, lost that game to the Broncos. The Lions lost their game to the Rams. Chargers played on their game, beat the Chiefs 16-13. Chiefs 6-8. I know Matt's really sad about that one as well. Eagles get right against the Raiders 31-0. Houston Texans, of course, another huge win for the Houston Texans because that's all they do is win, 40-20 over the Cardinals. And the Jags got a win too. The Jags get a win, 48-20 over the Jets. So that is your tier 1 and tier 2 teams, Matt. how much are we moving anything this week? Do the Patriots need to get punished? Is anyone in tier two jump up to tier one this week?
I think you just flip the Broncos and the Patriots.
Okay.
I think that's it.
I think that's a fair assessment on those two. For your tier one. So it's not messing up stuff too much. It's literally up and down one there. So it's still one through five. Any of your tier two teams, Matt, any of the tier two teams you think should jump up to tier one?
I don't think so. I like what the Bears are doing, but I don't think they're an actual contender.
Okay. I like that. So the Bears stay at six. The 49ers get a win. Probably stay at seven. Do the Chargers, the Eagles, or the Texans jump over either the Packers, the Lions, who both lost, or the Jags, I could say as well. The Jags had a big win. Do any of them start to jump up? Do the Lions or Packers move down? Also, the injury to Micah Parsons may judge what you think about the power of the Packers right now. Who do you put at number eight, and where do you kind of move those teams that lost this week in tier two?
I think you just move the two teams that lost to the bottom of the tier.
So you move the Packers and Lions from 8 and 9 down to 12 and 13?
Yeah. The Packers might even be 13 because of the Parsons injury.
What is their record?
I want to say like 10-4-1.
9-4-1, right?
9-4-1.
So yeah, I with the Parsons injury, I was just making sure they weren't too far away from what the Lions are. I'm with that. All right.
Well, they're two games ahead of the Lions, so we should probably leave them there.
They're only a game ahead, right? Game and a half.
Well, they also beat them twice, so.
All right. So Packers ahead of the Lions then. All right.
Yeah.
Making me do more work over here.
Sorry, trying to get bro. Me tripped up.
All right. So that then puts the Chargers, who deserve to move up. They've may have been a little low in our rankings. At 8, 9, the Texans all the way up to top 10 now. Jags are at 11 in your tier two. Tier three, Matt. Tier three, not a great week for tier three. With the Buccaneers losing to the Falcons on Thursday Night Football, the Cowboys losing to the Vikings, and the Colts losing to the Seahawks. The tier three, all three losses. If we look at tier four, the Panthers should have caught back up. They feel they got hosed on some calls, but they end up losing to the Saints, so they take a loss. The Steelers actually do get a win. Steelers get a big win moving forward as they beat the Dolphins on Monday Night Football. The Ravens, 24-0 win over the Bengals, really shutting down, depressing our boy Joe Burrow even more. Poor Joe Burrow. Dating supermodels, buying Batmobiles, but things aren't going perfect for Joe Burrow. And the Dolphins, of course, lost on Monday Night Football in Tier 4. Does anybody move up into Tier 3? Does the Tier 3 move around? Does Tier 4 move around? The Steelers and Ravens both with wins out of those next, seven teams. What do you like to see there?
I feel like you have to put the Steelers in. Are the Ravens eliminated yet?
I don't think so because they're in that division, right? They're in the bad division.
No, they're not eliminated.
They still play the Packers again, and they're only a game back from the Packers. And they still play them, or the Steelers, sorry, and they play them again.
Yeah. I say you move the Steelers to 14, the Ravens to 15, then the Bucks, the Colts, the Panthers, the Cowboys, and the Dolphins. Then the Bucks, the Colts, and the Cowboys, and then you cut it at 19.
In tier three?
No. Like so, the tier three is Pittsburgh, Baltimore, and Tampa Bay.
Okay. And then we go I put the Colts above Tampa Bay at this point. And I know they're playing with Phillip Rivers, but I still like they're still just a better team. Tampa Bay has been so bad lately.
We can do that if you want. I'm not going to argue with you about it. I do think that the Bucs are tier three, though.
You think they're tier three? I don't think they are.
You don't think so? I mean, so?
They're 7-7 now. They have lost five out of the last six games.
Yeah. Okay. Drop them to tier four.
Like it's been bad lately. And it's injuries. I'll give you it's injuries, but if we're penalizing Packers for Parsons, you have to go, like, you guys have been not playing good football whatsoever. So they are
the first team in tier four, though.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you on that one. So that puts. So tier three ends up being the Steelers, Ravens, and Colts. And tier four starts with the Bucks at 17. And then do we go Cowboys at 18 there?
Panthers
at 18, who just lost to the Saints.
I think it's still the Panthers.
Because they're still playing for a division?
Yeah. And they have a better record.
So then the Cowboys at 19. The Dolphins, do they slide back into tier five there?
Well, so here's the thing. I think you cut the Dolphins out and everything else basically stays the same because all of those teams are eliminated.
Okay, well, does Minnie move up for beating the Cowboys?
No, they're eliminated from the playoffs.
But they can move up in tier five.
Okay. Yeah, they move above the Chiefs, I guess.
Say they move above the Chiefs, put them at 21, Chiefs at 22. And then I say we move the Bengals down again to tier six.
Yeah.
They just got shut out by the Ravens.
Yeah.
The Burrow comeback was not what it wanted to be.
Sure was wrong about that one in our picks.
So Bengals drop down to tier six. We can move around anybody in that tier six if you want. No one's necessarily playing. I mean, the Saints could move up again. The Saints are not playing terrible football. They're really the only team who's not playing terrible football right now. I know the Falcons also won in a Thursday night game.
Yeah, I think the Falcons are 24, the Saints are 25. And then everything else stays chalk after that.
Yeah, I'm with you. All right. There's an updated power rankings for you as we move it around. The Jets just living down there at the bottom. Man, they're bad at football. Raiders bad at football. Mm-hmm. Titans bad at football.
Hey, shout out to Gunnar Helm, though, setting the record for touchdown catches by a rookie tight end, breaking Bo Scaife's record.
Hey, yeah, Joe, you got it, man. Cowboys, 1% chance of making the playoffs. It's there, man. He's got to win out.
8-8-1, baby. 8-8-1.
It's a way to go. By the way, South Florida up 10-7 over Old Dominion right now in the Staff DNA Cure Bowl. Do you think they got the cure to play at halftime?
I hope so. That would be awesome.
Just playing this afternoon's bowl game on a Wednesday afternoon. Like, guys, I thought this was going to be like a bigger deal. Nope, not a big deal at all. Matt, we also, we found out today, Matt, that Quinn Ewers is named the starter for the Miami Dolphins. We talked about this a little bit yesterday, but we now know that the Miami Dolphins have moved on from. Now, do you feel this is a official move on from Tua completely, or is this a let's go see what we have for three games and we just don't want you to get hurt and let's get out of this season and we'll kind of reconvene? I'll say I don't see any chance that Mike McDaniel and Tua come back. But I think there's a pretty good chance one of them does.
Mike McDaniel is going to come back. I think Tua's gone. I think it's going to be exactly what we talked about yesterday. They're going to try and get some draft capital for him.
But that's the thing is, like, we look at the quarterbacks now available, and you have Kyler Murray and Tua, which kind of cancel each other out in draft value too, because any team that wants him is going to call both and go like, look, we just need somebody. Both your guys have major flaws. I mean, now I wouldn't even call for Tua unless I played indoors.
Falcons, baby.
The Falcons. Oh man. Good Lord. Don't do that to Bijan, man. You got to get Bijan a real quarterback over there.
Well, you got to trade Bijan to the Cowboys.
Oh, okay. Trade him to the Cowboys. You know what?
We can take the Texans.
Texans. We'll take him on the Texans. Yep. They can have Joe Mixon.
There you go.
I like Joe Mixon, but he has not played this season, so it's kind of disappointing. But I think it's interesting. But it's a big difference from what we, you know, what we kind of thought was going to happen when Quinn Ewers came in. But it says a lot about the young man that he was able to go into a situation where he was brought in as a QB3, didn't know if he was even going to be on the roster, really. He was going to be practice squad probably for a lot of these games, with Zach Wilson being the backup. And within months, has put himself now to above Zach Wilson, to where they actually want to see if he could be somebody in the future. Now, it's not exactly an easy path to walk into for Quinn Ewers, because he's still playing on a much, you know, on a not great team. He's got his growing problems that he's going to have. The Miami Dolphins' remaining three games are the Bengals, who do not have a very good defense at home, the Buccaneers, who are beatable right now, and then at the Patriots. So he needs to show up in two of these three games, because I can tell you that third one is going to be rough. Playing at New England in the snow, most likely, in January, against a team. Now, maybe they'll be resting players. Maybe they'll be so locked in at that point with their record, they'll be resting players. That would be your biggest hope if you're Miami and Quinn Ewers. But what are your kind of expectations for Quinn Ewers in his next three games, Matt?
Well, I'm not going to say that I sit here and have high expectations for him, because it's not a very good football team, but the schedule isn't terrible. The Bengals this week are going to be a great, early starter for him, where he's like, he doesn't have to, go up against a dominant defense. The Bucks, got lit up by the Falcons recently, even though they won that, even though that Bijan is kind of locked in a box there, he still had a decent game, but the Bucks defense isn't fantastic. And the Patriots, like, they could very well be locked into a playoff spot at that point, and they could be like, all right, we're just going to rest Drake May. We're just going to do that. We'll rest some of these guys and get ready for the playoffs, like a lot of teams do in the final week of the season. So it sets up pretty well for him, I think. In terms of the Patriots defensively, like, I'm not going to sit here and say that I've watched a ton of Patriots football, but they haven't given up a ton of points this year. The most they gave up was against the Dolphins earlier this year. They gave up 27. And then they gave up 31 or 35 to the Bills this past weekend. But the other games, they played pretty well defensively. The thing about Quinn is, like, and I think Mike McDaniel said this in his press conference today, he's like, he's got a calm demeanor. He's got a quiet swagger. The players love him. He's got insane arm talent. And I believe all those things to be true. And it's a system in which he is very familiar, not just from being in it all year this year with the Dolphins, but also because it's really similar to what the Longhorns do and what he's been doing with Steve Sarkisian for the past 3 years. So I think he's going to be able to come in and do pretty much everything. I don't think he's going to be hamstrung by, oh, it's just a rookie playing, but it's everything sets up really nicely for him. So I think he's going to play well, and there'll be some points where you're like, ah, Quinn, what are you doing? Or like, oh, he didn't see that guy coming off the edge, or whatever. And his pocket presence wasn't amazing like it hasn't been in years past. But I think he'll be able to do anything they ask him to do. And I wouldn't be surprised if he shocks some people.
No, I'm hoping for it. I think it'd be a lot of fun to watch him come out. We know the other quarterback who dropped was Shedeur Sanders, and he had been getting some, he wasn't playing great football, but he also wasn't playing terrible football. And people were saying, well, maybe with time, he'll be a little bit better of a player and maybe he can still learn. And, he's got there. And then he went 18 for 35 for three interceptions against the Bears this last weekend. And now everyone's freaking out again because clearly he's being sabotaged by Stefanski, because there's not a chance that it's just him not being as good of a quarterback. But he did not have the game that a lot of people wanted him to have.
I'm shocked.
Also, it doesn't help that they ran the ball. Quinshon Judkins had 12 carries for 21 yards. Not really what you want to see from an offense. There's more pieces to it. But yeah, when you're playing against these teams, I think the big piece for Quinn Ewers in these next couple of weeks is going to be, can he, as a leader, keep a eliminated team with a backup quarterback interested in playing as hard as they can? So it's more a test of Quinn Ewers' leadership at this point to see if he can really get this team fully invested in these last 3 weeks, because there is going to be drop off. These are guys making millions of dollars, and sometimes they're already planning their vacations. They know they're eliminated. Until they lost on Monday, there was probably still a glimmer of hope in there. We saw Tyreek Hill already post a meme, and we're like, Tyreek, you need to be gone anyway. You've been a problem. You haven't been a solution. You've been a problem. Go back to Kansas City. They need some help right now. I'm sure it'll work out perfect. But Miami's going to be trying to move some crazy pieces of sauce. Miami's general manager is going to get blocked on some of these GM's phones.
Probably.
So you call me on Monday saying you want a third for Tua. You call me on Tuesday asking me for a fourth for Tyreek Hill. What is wrong with you? I'm not giving you none of that. How about this? You give me a third and I'll take on Tua's contract. How about we do that? I think they're trying to get draft capital for him. I think they may have to give up draft capital if they want to get out of that contract.
I've seen some rumors on some early places where he might land.
Yeah.
I think the Falcons were on there. Let me see if I can find it again real quick. Top landing spots, according to Hard Rock Bet. Vikings, number one. Jets, number two. Raiders, number three. Steelers, number four. Publix, number five. I don't know why Publix is on there. I think that the Falcons will be a player for him as well. Like, somebody has to have a need. And they're going to... The Colts are another one. Like, we don't know if Daniel Jones is going to be back next year, like, ready to play, because that injury is really serious. So, what are you willing to give up for a one-year quarterback?
Yeah.
And I think it'll probably be like a fifth or a sixth round pick.
I mean, that's a question, because you also got Kyler Murray, and that's in that same discussion right now of a quarterback that has talent, but there's extra baggage and a contract that no one really wants to pay.
Yeah.
So we will see what happens.
Can the Falcons even afford to bring Tua on cap-wise?
It depends if they get out of that. I think they're going to be out of that Kirk Cousins contract then. I mean, how long do they sign him for?
Let me see.
Because if you get out of Kirk Cousins, it becomes much easier.
Oh, for sure. He is due to be a unrestricted free agent in 2028.
All right. Well, we'll see how much you're paying them still. I'll look at the contract here in the break. We're going to take our second break real quick. We'll come back, wrap up the show, get to our meathead. I'll talk a little Spurs.
Well, you're right, actually. Sorry. They can get out after this season.
Yeah, I figured you weren't signed to a 4-year deal. It's a long deal for Kirk Cousins. But we'll get into all of that when we come back here, and whatever else you guys want to talk about, as always, here on Open Gym on Texas Sports Unfiltered.
Hi, I'm Hayden Covert. Welcome to Covert Buick GMC of Bee Cave, your home in the Hill Country for new and pre-owned Buick and GMC vehicles. With beautiful inventory arriving daily, including the GMC Yukon, Sierra 1500, and Buick Enclave, you'll be certain to find the perfect vehicle at an incredible deal. Our service department is also open for all your vehicle maintenance needs. Visit us today for a test drive. Covert, born and raised in Austin. We are professional grade.
Altstadt Beer, the best beer that you can find all throughout the great state of Texas. Y'all know I've been a fan of Altstadt for years now, and if you try it, I think you will be too. If you've already tried it, you know exactly what I am talking about. Altstadt is brewed locally in Fredericksburg, but available all over the state of Texas. So if you're tuned in Austin, San Antonio, Dallas, Houston, it does not matter. You can find Altstadt at a local grocery store or liquor store. They've got a bunch of different brews. Something for every beer drinker out there. The lager, the Kolsch, those are their two flagship beers. Both award winners. They are fantastic. The Altstadt Light sacrifices on calories but does not sacrifice on the taste. They've got a great pils, tons of great seasonals as well. I'm telling you, one sip and you won't go back to the other beers you've been drinking in the past. It is the official beer of BK. It should be the official beer of you as well. It's Altstadt beer. No impurities, no regrets.
Hey, y'all. I'm Camille McKay.
And I'm Tom McKay, owner of Audiovisual Consultations.
The old man and I are here to give you your summer weather forecast. It's hot.
That's right, kid.
Which means it's time for pool parties, grilling burgers, and taking a beach vacation, right?
Well, I don't know about a vacation, but Audiovisual brings more heat than any tropical destination.
It was worth a shot. I'll settle for some outdoor speakers.
You know, Audiovisual can do a lot more than that. We provide outdoor video screens, audio systems, landscape lighting, even solar shades for your patio to keep the Texas heat at bay.
Well, I'm sold. Let's wrap this up. I'm ready to lounge on a floaty and listen to some smooth jazz.
Well, that sounds wonderful, but some smooth reggae is the way to go this summer.
Good thing we can listen to both with the Sonos sound system. I call dibs on the floaty, though. Peace out.
Kid, wait a second. Give us a call at 512-255-8678 or visit us at avconsultations.com. That's 512-255-8678.
Call me at the end of a yawn. Back here on Open Gym on Texas Sports Unfiltered. Myself, Patrick Davis, alongside Matt Gladson of Texas Longhorns on as I, and of course, you, the third member of Open Gym. Text line's open. Chat's open. Hang out with us. Appreciate you being here with us on a Wednesday afternoon. Yeah, sorry. I was yawning there, and then the commercial ended. Caught me there. Caught me. It's Radio 101. Don't be yawning when you come out of commercials. Come on, guys. Simple stuff. Matt, we did see last night the Spurs lost in the NBA Cup action to the Knicks. Spurs led pretty much most of the game, and then Knicks went on a run to start the fourth quarter, and were just able to hold on to it. It was kind of sad after the game to see Wimby. Apparently his grandmother had passed away that day, so he was really emotional. Maybe wasn't playing his best game at parts in that. He was coming off the bench. Had a good run in there, but a little bit off it felt like during the game. But this is one after the game. It sucks to lose. You don't necessarily want to lose a game like that, but I think it is one of those reasons why it was really good for the Spurs was the Knicks played way more physical than them, like extremely more physical than them. And for the Spurs to get a little bit more of that atmosphere and feel of being in a big moment and trying to play for something they really wanted, they just haven't had those opportunities yet. So I think it was good for them to get the learning lesson of, you know, you're winning most of this game and then all of a sudden it's back and you weren't able to fight back through that. You have to learn how to do that to take the next step of what you want to do. And having that happen in a NBA Cup game as opposed to a playoff game, I'll take. Now, they're going to have to learn many more of these lessons. There's still ways. But I'll take learning it in a game that didn't actually, for any purposes other than the Knicks winning the Cup, does not matter.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fantastic learning lesson. And that really does suck for Wemby. That's one of the hardest things you can go through. but, you know, props to him. He played 25 minutes and scored 18 points. and had six boards. Like, that's being able to battle through that and still put out that kind of performance is something. Can I blame this on Harrison Barnes at all?
Why, we like Harrison Barnes.
Just for the fun of it, because he was so frustrating to watch for the Mavericks for so long, and he was 0-4 from three.
He did. He's been shooting lights out threes, and then the last like 2 weeks he's fallen off. But he's been playing really well. Also, just watched a video of him going around to HEBs in San Antonio and buying people's groceries, you know, giving him money. He's a good dude. I get why you make you frustrated, because Harrison Barnes has kind of always been a dude where you're like, oh, he's a little bit older, so you don't expect a ton out of him. But you expected a ton out of him because he was younger at the time. But he's always kind of played the game that flowed well into him being an older guy. And Joe, Knicks are not hanging the banner either. That felt like it was really the first year of it that they made the Lakers do it to try and make it matter more. But that was it. They made them do it. I don't think the Lakers wanted to do it either.
Well, the Lakers are a franchise that would want to do something like that.
No, but I do think that was much more of like a, hey, guys, the NBA Cup is not necessarily working. But, hey, man, it sold tickets. The crowd was live for most of it. So, they're talking about moving it to a college stadium, which would be interesting. But I don't know, like, if you're in a college fan base, like, the kids aren't going to care about it. So, I don't know. But they're talking about it, so we'll see.
You'd have to do it at a college venue that's in a big city still, though.
I know. And that's, they're not doing it
like
they're
the movie.
They're doing the movie. Hey, that college, there's a lot of open seats. Seats last night.
If the Spurs are playing in it, I think people would show up.
I think they will. They do it for the Highway Series, 35 Series. They do here a couple games. All right, Matt, let's hit our meathead of the day. This guy needs no introduction. He was a Heisman favorite early in the year. We were told by Chipotle workers that his return marked the end for the Longhorns. But his hand is the reason why he's having a problem, Matt. It's the surgery. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Chin, who they loved, is apparently a fraud that has ruined John Mateer's career. It has nothing to do with him just being flustered and being in a bigger environment.
We're going to have some.
Oh, he got it that time. He figured it out that time, Matt. If you were just listening
to the show, let's play the beginning of that one more time.
If you're just listening to it, John Mateer is taking reps in bowl practice, and he's trying to do a drill where he basically stops and then goes through some tackling dummies. But he doesn't quite make it through the first tackling dummy. He just steps into it and immediately falls over. Which is basically a guy not knowing where he is on the field and making a bad decision. Now, does this happen more? Yes. Is it funnier because it's John Mateer? Yes.
Well, what's funny also is that an Oklahoma fan, Alabama is also practicing indoors.
Yeah.
And an Oklahoma fan quote tweeted them practicing indoors and was like, hey, they're done for if they're practicing indoors. Like, this is such a soft move. And then somebody replied with this video.
I love when it's just taking things completely out. Like, they're practicing indoors. You're like, okay, is it going to be 65, 50 degrees? I think they'll manage.
Yeah. Also, just a little spoiler alert for my college football playoff quarterback power rankings.
Yeah.
I did them while we were on the break.
Okay.
John Mateer is not ranked very high, Patrick.
He is not ranked high. I told you. He was slid. He kept sliding. Like, sliding well past where I thought he would slide. So
he's low.
He is low, low. Spoiler, he's not 12 on my list, but he is low. He's not number 12 out of the 12. He is not 12th in my list.
I guess we'll have to tune in tomorrow and find out whether or not he is the worst quarterback on my SEC power rankings.
That's what we have to do. Not SEC, the
or college playoff. Football playoff power
rankings. College football playoff, because there's 12 quarterbacks left. Quarterbacks are what makes everything. So, I get defense wins championships. I understand that. Some good defenses out there, too. It's going to be a lot of fun. We'll talk more about that tomorrow as we're getting closer to the college football playoffs happening. We'll get more into that tomorrow and, of course, Friday. But how about until then? Be kind, be safe, keep your underwear clean. We'll see you right back here tomorrow for more from Open Gym.